Welcome to Hot Weekly.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction and haunted entertainment community. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. We include all of the aficionados. They are all included in and amongst our people. But yes, we are live once again, Haunt Weekly, recording. And it's episode 232.
Right.
That means it's divisible by four. So it's time to do
the news.
And usually, right now, we are in the muck when it comes to news. There's just nothing going.
Right.
I'm pulling bullshit stories from various places. I'm talking about like haunted houses for sale, stuff that we don't usually talk about on this podcast. It's outside of our purview, just to pad the hour out, though, and make sure we have enough to do. Not a problem this time.
No.
In fact, I think the original cut of the show notes had 15 stories. I combined a lot of them, and we'll get to that in a minute. And so, yeah, there was at least a dozen. I got it down to nine. I'm pretty proud of that.
Yeah.
But first thing is first, this is Haunt Weekly. If you did not intend to be seeing or listening to Haunt Weekly, please disembark now.
you are in the wrong place.
You are in the wrong place.
You have hit the actor area.
The correct place is hauntweekly.com. We're also Haunt Weekly on Twitter, Haunt Weekly on Facebook. YouTube.com/Haunt Weekly is our YouTube channel. We're also on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever, Spotify, wherever the finer podcasts are sold, we are there. All right. We have updates on our quarantine/COVID resources for haunters, ways to keep the spooky times a-rollin' and keep the haunt energy real, even during these very unusual times. So to that end, let's kick it off. Crystal, why don't you do the first one?
Okay, Scary Woods in North Carolina is doing a virtual tour. It happened on Saturday.
It happened a while back, actually. It's the notes are old, but yeah, it's still available on their Facebook, though.
Yes, on Facebook at Spooky Woods.
Yes, and that's one of the things I've been finding really cool is that a lot of big haunts have been doing virtual tours of their haunts, both behind the scenes and front of the scene in the haunt itself. So yeah, and that's really, really cool stuff. Mm-hmm. Fearworm Hauntvertising has been doing regular webinars. They've already done one on TikTok. They have done planned advertising campaigns and a lot more now.
The
latest one you saw
was on casting remotely.
Yeah, yes.
Like doing your casting calls and stuff.
Yes, things. That's just it. They're advertising, but they're doing a lot of different stuff.
Right.
So it's not just advertising related. So even if you are not on the marketing side of things, you probably have something that you should be interested in on there.
Yeah.
I would definitely check that out.
Yeah, and this is good for any business, really.
Oh, realistically, a lot of this does apply to just about anything. You're absolutely right about that.
Yeah. Okay, after that, Haunter's Toolbox is still out there doing great things for everybody.
Okay.
So be sure to check them out.
Also, there is a very, very neat virtual tour of the Paris Catacombs.
Mm-hmm.
You have to find the link. It's catacombs.paris, and it's the French spelling of catacombs, unfortunately. paris.fr/en for English /virtual-visit.
Haunted Honeymooners is doing a lot of live recordings and interviews, so those have been entertaining to join.
They've been doing some kick-ass interviews.
Mm-hmm.
Genuinely great stuff. Just look for them. Haunted Honeymooners.
Yes.
Haunty Honeymooners. Haunty Honeymooners. They're the haunty ones. They're not the haunted ones. They're haunty. No, the Haunted Honeymooners. All one word on Facebook. Oh, man. Virtual tours of some really neat places, including Eastern State Pen, Queen Mary, the Winchester House, Time Out Magazine. Timeout.com posted this. You can search the site there. I'll have a link to it elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Atmos FX. If you are a home haunter or you've walked inside a Lowe's or a Home Depot at any point during Halloween season, you are familiar with this company. They have expanded their offerings.
No.
They are now doing Zoom backgrounds, animated Zoom backgrounds for your meetings, including spooky ones. You want zombies clawing behind you?
Well, now I do.
You can have that. So yes, atmosfx.com/pages/virtual-backgrounds, or just atmosfx.com, probably is all you need. So yeah, that's some neat stuff there. And as always, you can join us every Sunday at 8 p.m. as we're going to be doing these recordings live, and would love to have you come join us.
Yes. And a quick housekeeping from last week.
Yes, I owe an apology.
Yes, go ahead.
I'll take Ryan Gregor. Yes. I turned him Irish for the entirety of the podcast for some reason. I kept calling him Migra, and it's weird because I know him. I've spent time with him. Yes. We've hung out with him repeatedly.
Right.
I know him. I don't know why the hell I kept calling him. I just had McGregor on the brain, I think. You know, maybe. But anyways, I apologize, Ryan. You are Ryan Gregor. Most definitely not Mick Gregor. I don't know why I kept doing that. It's just, there's no explanation, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Just apologies. But anyways, question for the audience. This week, was one of the, as mentioned last time, what we're doing is we're putting a question to those of us joining us live in the chat. Talk about it amongst yourselves over the course of the episode, and then we'll come back to it and discuss the answers at the very, very end. This week's question, what is your haunt superpower?
Yeah.
If you were going to have a haunt superhero name or whatever, what would it be? Type thing.
You know, okay.
What would the superpower be?
Yeah.
What do you think yours is? I'm interested. Because you came up with this question, so you have to go first.
Yes, but I wasn't thinking of it as a superhero name. Be Miss Heidi McHeidenstein, I guess. Because I am my superpower.
Every superhero is named after their superpower. It's one of those weird rules.
Yeah. Is hiding scares. Mm-hmm. I can hide scares really well where people don't see them coming.
That is true. I think I've actually struggled with this, trying to think of what mine is.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely think one thing I would say is making things not move when they need to not move.
Right.
I figured that out. But I believe the actual superpower is, and the thing that goes beyond just basic carpentry is improv.
Yeah. I would say your wit definitely plays a big role.
And then I'm not the biggest guy. I'm fairly stealthy when I need to be and want to be. So mm-hmm. I can do those types of roles. But honestly, I'm never going to be like the most intimidating actor on the planet. I mean, I'm 6'0" and 200 pounds. I'm not huge. The result of that is, you know, I have to rely more on my wits and my charms to get both scares and laughs because I like getting both, you know?
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. So, yeah, I think those are our guesses. Heidi McHeidenstein.
Yeah. Well,
that's just your Irish name. That's not your superhero name.
Well, I'm putting that Mac in, you know.
You know, exactly.
But no, the other thing that I do customer facing is make them believe me.
Yeah.
People tend to believe me no matter what I'm doing.
Yeah. That is one of the things, like, even the very first haunt we ever acted in, when you got stuck in a victim role, people were genuinely disturbed.
Yeah.
At how good you were doing it, and customers were literally trying to help you.
Yeah. And Nate's superpower apparently is overbuilding shit while drunk. We
know,
believe it.
You take out the while drunk, I would say that's your dad's superpower.
Yeah. Yeah.
He doesn't drink, but he does overbuild every goddamn thing.
Yeah.
There's a reason my desk weighs 6,000 pounds.
Right. Exactly.
It's a desk. There was no need for it.
Well, you know.
Anyway. So we'll come back to the rest of the answers afterward.
Yeah, and there might be slim because it is Mother's Day. We are recording this on Mother's Day.
Yes, and also I didn't get the thing out until I forgot to do it on Tuesday like I usually do.
Yeah.
So we're here every, just assume we're here Sunday, but I'm going to try to start the event and future post it on Tuesday. It gives everyone time to add it to their calendar. That's totally on me. So if it's slim this week in the chat, I understand.
Yep.
It's on me. I will remedy that later. All right, so as we mentioned on the way in, this is episode 232, divisible by 4. It's time to do the news.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, howdy, is there a lot of news.
There is.
With everything going on, that whole ordeal we're all going through. there's a lot of haunt-facing news taking place, and a lot of it is admittedly kind of sad and depressing.
Yes.
So I'm going to make the usual promise that I make with news episodes.
Right.
If you stick with us through the sad and depressing crap, we're going to end on some lighter notes.
Yep.
A lot of lighter notes, actually.
Well, at least one. That, yes.
I don't know.
But it's really good.
I think assholes getting what they deserve is a lighter note, too. But
well, yeah. So, and Stupid Criminals was a series for a reason.
America's Dumbest Criminals. So, you know, I think there's some lighter notes coming up at the end. So we are going. So I promise you, promise, if you stick with us through the depressing crap, you're going to end with a smile on your face. That sounded way creepier than I intended.
It did. It really did.
So our first bit of depressing news is that Midsummer Scream has been officially canceled.
Right.
It was planned for July 31st through August 2nd in Long Beach, California. This has been a huge, huge convention.
This is the one everybody tells us to go to.
Yeah, we were like, hey, now that HauntCon's left New Orleans and we've got to travel to whatever convention we're going to, what convention should we choose? We feel like we've done HauntCon plenty of times. What else should we do, right?
Yeah.
I've been to Dallas plenty of times, too. I have no interest in visiting Dallas. No offense to Dallas. I've just been there. So everyone's like, oh, you got to do Midsummer Scream. You got to do Midsummer Scream. That was like literally crammed down our throats. And apparently it's gotten huge, both for horror and haunted attraction business. It's been an absolutely huge thing. It was going to be July 31st or August 2nd. It instead will be held July 9th through 11th in 2021. So they're just skipping the year. No bones about it. That's the one that's next to and partners with the Queen Mary.
Right.
And also has great connections with Not Scary Farm and also Halloween Horror Nights. And does the Giant Hall of Shadows, which is like something I have to see before I die.
Yeah, and that's built by local home haunters, is my understanding, is that they bring in stuff.
I thought it was haunters of all types, but home haunters and everybody, basically, comes in and they each like build basically a room.
Yes.
In a connected haunt.
Exactly.
And that is like the most awesome idea I think I've ever heard of. I have to see this. Please, please, please have it in 2021 and let me go.
Yes.
But I understand. The thing about this has been canceled, but Midwest Haunters Convention, at least on paper, is still on.
Right.
And that is in July. It's earlier in July. But I'll say this. I'm a little bit antsy because they have not posted anything on the Midwest Haunters Convention Facebook page that I've seen since the end of March.
Mm-hmm.
And we're in May. They're not opening registration up until June 1st, which makes sense, you know. Make goddamn sure well you can open before you start taking people's money. That makes a lot of sense.
It does.
So I'm hoping that they're able to open and that they're able to do it safely and everything works out fine. I'm skeptical that that one will happen.
Yeah.
I think for a lot of reasons I'm skeptical of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Midsummer Scream is canceled, I am sorry to say.
Yeah. Okay, our next story comes from Horror Buzz, and it's about Fear Factory in Salt Lake City opening for halfway to Halloween. This is something that they've done every year for a while.
Yeah, they have a halfway to Halloween celebration.
Mm-hmm. And it was, it is to be held.
Yeah.
It's still upcoming. So if you're in that area and want to, it's May 29th and 30th. The event is a lights out tour of the haunt using timed arrival systems.
Yeah.
So they're doing things to open a haunt in a COVID world.
And the interview, the link on Horror Buzz actually features a full sit-down interview with the owners and general manager of Fear Factory. And it's a really interesting interview. It's worth the full watch, actually, I think. Because a lot of the stuff they're talking about could be part of the quote-unquote new normal for haunted attractions if we're allowed to open even September, October.
Right.
This could become part of that. I mean, and so it's like you said, one of the main changes they're doing is this is a haunt well known for its crushing lines and wave of humanity that fills everything.
Right.
I mean, I think this was the one in Salt Lake City Kyle worked at.
I'm not sure. We'd have to ask him.
We'd have to ask him. But Kyle was literally the very first guest we ever had on this podcast. Go back to like episode 5 and see an interview with Kyle. He was great and he's awesome. But I think he worked at this haunt. But they're using a timed arrival system so that what will happen is if you go and go to their site now, you buy a ticket based upon a 30-minute window, and you have to show up during that 30-minute window.
Yeah.
And the way they're framing it is now everybody's VIP.
Right, which is not a bad way to frame it.
It's not a bad way to frame it. It feels a little bit untrue.
A little bit. they say that they're completely you know, complying with all of their local rules and government officials. So,
well, and they're drastically reducing the actors in the Haunt. They said they're cutting their actors down by like 75%.
Yeah, which is interesting.
And they're focusing on socially distanced scares. And one of the things they talked about in the interview was how normally you'd have the prop due to the distract and then the actor swoop in for the scare.
Right.
They're flipping it so that way the actor gets to, you know, distract and then activate a scare. And I understand the reason they're doing that, but I don't know if that is the answer to this. I get the logic behind this. But it's going to make the scares less effective. I mean,
yeah, I'm wondering if there's a way to have the actor activate the scare while the customer's not there but is close.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like a tripwire or, you know, the laser ones, not an actual tripwire.
Actual tripwire.
Because that would be terrible.
Just garrote the customers. It's okay.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, If you could do that, and then it would start activating, so then the actor could still have the scare. Because actors as distracts, we've talked about this before.
Yeah, this is an old topic for us.
Yeah, it's not something that's good.
Yeah, I've never seen it really work to my satisfaction. They're removing any and all contact points. This was something Chris Gay talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, like, there will be no plastic sheeting or bodies they have to push out of the way.
Right.
There's nothing that customers have to touch in the Haunt, basically. And before actors show up, they have to have their temperature taken. And that, to me, is less useful.
Right.
Because you'll find out if someone is actively very sick, but the problem with this illness is you're a carrier of it even when you're asymptomatic. And that's one of the dangers. So I mean the counter to it is what AEW is doing, which is they're literally having COVID tests for everyone. Now, is that practical for a Haunt? I don't know. Probably not. But that's the response. That's the alternative. But yeah, and they're also making acting in this completely voluntary. If you don't feel comfortable, if you don't want to show up, if for whatever reason this isn't, you know, something you're comfortable doing. Yeah, there's no harm to your spot when regular season comes around again. They also said, like you noted, they're complying with all local government rules. They did not say which of the changes they were making were their idea versus being an ordinance one.
Right.
They didn't say, but I have a feeling it's a mixture of both.
Yeah. Well, and I'm also curious with the temperature taking, if they're going to be, like, scanning people with you know, a temperature gun as they come in, the customers.
I don't know.
That could be an issue, too.
All I know is that COVID has caused a run on contactless thermometers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad we got ours for a long time ago.
Yeah.
We got ours for making beer.
Yes. Yes,
this is true, actually. Mm-hmm. We got ours for making beer. It worked great for that.
It did.
So, yeah, this will be the first major Haunt to open since the Friday the 13th events that were so big in March. Had our Friday the 13th. And that was when it was, ooh, everything's shutting down. This is getting dicey. And about half of the Friday the 13th of events canceled. About half didn't.
Right.
So, yeah, that's going to be interesting. Now, that said, some year-round haunts are open. Mayfield Manor, actually, the one that's attached to the Pirate Museum in Galveston, mm-hmm. has actually opened up, I believe, yesterday as of recording.
Yeah, and having been there, I could see how that one...
That one I don't think raises the issues.
Exactly. I don't think it does.
Because there's only one actor at any point.
Right.
And the actor is completely physically separate from you.
Yes, exactly.
He might have one drop panel. You skip.
Yeah.
Everything else as actor activated, and it's socially, and it's on the other side of a wall.
Yeah, and you barely even see the actor, honestly.
Yeah. So
other than the opening sequence.
Yeah, I don't think that one I understood, but definitely check out that episode 191. We spoke with Shelby Rodwell about that. She was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Got to hang out behind the scenes at the attraction. It was really, really cool, and learn about both the museum and the Haunt.
Yep.
Some neat stuff they got going there. But getting back to Fear Factor, I'm kind of two minds on this.
Mm-hmm.
On one hand, if if it is possible and reasonable for a haunted attraction to be open right now, this is the way to do it.
Yeah.
They are taking every precaution I can fathom that is practical.
Right.
I mean, obviously, you prefer actual tests of all the actors and testing is such crap right now. It really is.
Yeah, it is. There's a lot of issues with testing. But
so that's the ideal. Obviously, that's not practical.
Right.
But yeah, if you think it's okay, if there's any way for a haunted attraction to be open at this phase of the pandemic, they've done everything they can.
Yeah, and I'm actually really curious about how it goes, and I would love a report on how it goes from them.
Now, they said in the interview they're operating at about 50%. They said about 50% capacity.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're being kind, knowing what I know about their... I mean, they're famous for the crowds they draw. I would say they're probably operating closer to 25%.
Yeah.
Would be my better guess. But they said they're operating under 50% capacity with this. And so the question I always have when I see this is the risk worth the reward? I don't honestly know. I mean, I genuinely do not know because
right.
I'm not a doctor. I'm not a medical professional. I especially don't know where things are in Salt Lake City.
No.
I know I would not feel comfortable going to a New Orleans haunted attraction right now, even with all these precautions.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe with the exception of Scout Island. Because Scout Island, if you had a ticket to go into one of the attractions and you were out roaming in the open area, and then you could get, you know, a buzz to say, come here now.
Get like those things at Texas Roadhouse where they buzz you.
Exactly. Just some or a text to your phone, then you could, like, keep your distance.
Yeah. And I think, and that is like the polar opposite, like New Orleans Nightmare, which is that crushing queue line
exactly.
in the field. Or, God damn it, the mortuary with that line.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah,
I'm surprised there hasn't been a pandemic in those queue lines already.
Yeah.
You know?
That's true.
I am surprised, especially considering these snot-nosed teens go to...
Mm-hmm.
But no, it... Yeah, I don't know. I'm of two minds of this. Now, I will say that they got me thinking about time ticketing systems, and if we could use one, I mean, we're a home haunt, the tickets would be free.
Yeah.
But I've actually looked into it, and I've got some alternatives based upon WordPress that might work for us.
Right.
And the idea was, if we're going to do that, we'd start promoting it in like September, saying, grab your tickets, please come, you know, to your designated time. If you don't show up, you're literally taking a spot from someone else that could have come.
Right.
You know, type
exactly.
of thing. So, but
if you show up and you don't have the spot reserved, then you can't come in. I'm sorry. Please reserve it. You know.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that we're looking at that, and based in part because of this, I don't know. Like I said, I'm of two minds. They're definitely taking all the precautions that I think are practical.
Yeah.
Well,
and I mean that. Like I said, we'll just have to see. We'll have to follow up with them.
Yeah.
In a month.
No, I'm sure we'll hear something about it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, moving on. Let's move on. We spent a lot of time on that, which was an important one.
Right.
I knew we would. Orlando Leaders. Actually, you were supposed to take this one, weren't you?
Or I don't know. Was I?
I don't know. You take this one.
Okay.
Okay, I'll take it then.
Orlando Leaders detail potential new rules for Disney and Universal.
And Universal and the other theme parks.
Yeah,
in the area.
And other
yeah.
theme parks.
Yeah.
Nothing's reopened right yet.
No.
Making a plan, because that's what you do, is you plan first, you know.
Yeah, and then to be clear, these are not rules yet. These are suggestions
right.
that they're looking to maybe codify into rules.
Right.
This is the direction they're going, basically.
Right. So they're looking at cutting the capacity of the parks by 50% initially. And then moving it up 75% later mm-hmm. after, you know, people are, you know, okay, they're doing the temperature thing too. That's going to be a thing that people are going to have to do.
Yeah, and like I said, I worry that that doesn't seem like it's super effective, though.
No, it doesn't. And, you know, I didn't see anything about mask being for the last one, for Fear Factor. But for the Disney parks...
Mm-hmm.
All employees are going to be required to wear masks.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully a little better than the ones that are being worn around here by employees. Because they wear them under the nose. or the chin.
Oh man,
But
some of you motherfuckers need to learn how to put on a mask. I'm just
I understand, and it's going to be difficult for the employees to wear it all day long.
Yeah.
In the park, in the heat.
Yeah, no, Florida, crushing Florida heat, especially.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard enough to wear one just for a few minutes. I'm not looking forward to when I have to go back into the office, because they're going to make us wear a mask 8 hours a day.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Get a comfy one.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, I've just been using the dust masks that we have, because we have a ton of them. And,
yeah.
But, and they're quite comfy for me.
But yeah, they're going to do the social distancing cues also.
Yes.
Any doors that aren't automatic have to be propped open or have a staff member open them.
Like a concierge to open the door, a doorman.
Yeah.
We're bringing back the job of doorman. Thanks to go.
And elevator men in some places. Because,
that's true.
You know, not here, but that's something that they're talking about at the university is how are the elevators going to work? Because there's not 6 feet in there that you can get apart. So, yeah. So, like you said, currently the rules are just suggestions. That's about it.
Yeah, this is one of the ones I had to combine stories.
Right, yeah, because part of this is that Universal has not said anything about Halloween Horror Nights.
Well, Universal, on April 6th, tweeted that there was no change.
Yeah.
That they're still planning to move forward with HHN as is. That's interesting. I'm a little surprised, but there was also a report from the investment bank UBS that said that they were speaking about Disney, but said that such theme parks may not open at all until 2021.
Yeah.
At any capacity.
Right.
So I don't know where to go with that. I mean, basically they're trying to set up what going to a theme park will look like when the reopening does happen. But we're not any closer to the reopening, is what I'm basically understanding in all this. Now, one thing I did find funny is they said employees over 65 are encouraged to work from home. How the fuck a theme park employee work from home?
Yeah, not unless they're, you know, the accountant or something, and then you can do that from home.
Yeah, you can do that from home, but
you can't be in a character and walking around.
You can't be the guy that operates the roller coaster.
No.
Okay, I'm doing this from my living room. Push the button, Frank.
Exactly.
Oh, it does not work that way. So, I don't know. But these seem like some decent suggestions. And honestly, one thing I was kind of surprised of is the comments on this post. I mean, never read the comments. I know. Messed it up. But the comments actually seem very supportive. You know, including people like, you know, it seemed like a good balance between being oppressive to the customer and also keeping the safety in check.
Right.
So the comments were positive, and I was very surprised at that. Usually I said the comments are a hellscape in these types of things.
Yeah.
And I went down there because I'm apparently a masochist.
Yeah, well, you know.
All right, speaking of theme parks, this is another one I had to combine stories. Knott's Berry Farm, a.k.a. Knott's Scary Farm, as we all know and love it in October, has rolled out its post-coronavirus plan for reopening its parks. Now, the company is known as Cedar Fair Theme Parks, and I did not know this, but the same company that owns Knott's Berry Farm owns Schlitterbahn.
Yes.
And Carowinds.
Yes.
I did not know that the same company owned all those seemingly very random attractions that we have connections to.
Right.
Exactly. You went to Schlitterbahn.
Yes. Well, no, we haven't. Ellie did.
Oh, Ellie's the Schlitterbahn.
Yes.
Ellie's Schlitterbahn. But we've been to Carowinds, and it's just kind of weird that these random parks are owned by the same company. That's neither here nor there.
No, it's not. That's not the news story.
It should be. But it is not. You are correct. The news story is that they are going to, they're rolling out their plan, which includes advanced reservations. You will need reservations before you come. Limiting attendance. They didn't say how much. virtual queuing, which is like, really? That's not already a thing? That's
Yeah, it seems like it would be.
Seems like it should already be a thing. And switching, and this one was interesting to me, switching totally to cashless transactions.
Yeah. That is interesting.
And also strictly enforcing social distancing within the park, which I mean, yeah, with virtual queuing, that gets a little bit easier. But see, like, the thing about, like, park capacity that confuses me is every time I've been to a theme park, there's like one or two rides everybody wants to do. Like, the last time I was at Disney World, the first iteration of Test Track had just opened. I'm dating myself here, by the way. It was 20 years ago. It was the last time I was at Disney World. 21 years ago, to be exact. The queue line for Test Track at Epcot was 3 hours long. So I did not ride Test Track.
No.
Because I only get 8 hours at Epcot. I went on a bunch of other rides and filled my time much more productively.
You don't want to
Spend
spend
the
3 hours in the
stand,
line ride.
stand a hot fucking line waiting for a ride that's going to last about 2 minutes. You know, that just seems stupid. So I found other stuff to do. There's lots of great stuff in Epcot. Epcot's wonderful. But currently all Cedar Fair parks are closed or having or delayed opening. Now, Knott's Berry Farm is the only year-round one they have, but all the others, including like Carowinds, have had delayed openings now. They should be open, but they are not. But then again, they also released a report earlier as part of the same quarterly report where they said, once again, combining stories. They said that they expect all or some of their parks to remain closed for all 2020. So it looks like theme parks are making their post-coronavirus plans, but in the same breath are not holding out much hope for a 2020 opening. That seems to be the mood I'm getting here.
And that kind of makes sense because we're still in a lot of flux. And, you know, regulations haven't come down about how to best to handle this because nobody knows. I mean, if you don't know, you can't tell people what to do and not do. So it's just, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and in these quarterly reports like this and also the other thing above with Disney and all that, they're often very conservative because you can get in legal trouble if you don't talk about a warning or a potential hazard, or you minimize it too much. You know, if you do that, you can actually get in trouble. That's an SEC violation.
And I would think that it's probably really expensive to run a park open, you know, especially if, you know, they drain all of their water rides and stuff when they're not open, when it's not season, then they have to put the water back, but only for a few customers instead of what their normal capacity is. There's a real balance there they're trying to
Yeah,
reach.
and that's one thing that all of the parks did say, and includes Universal, Disney, and Cedar Fair, was that they are working to keep their parks in a state of relative readiness. I mean, I don't think they mean like we could open them today, you know, just
Like a week or two.
but like a couple days' notice they could probably open. I think is what they're shooting for. So yeah, I mean, it seems like the theme parks are not convinced they're going to have a 2020 season at all. So I guess we'll see. Once again, this is all hugely in flux, as you noted. Everything is random and weird right now. For my money, though, I kind of am not expecting the parks to open in 2020 at all either. Just because you have to balance how essential something is versus the risks that come with it. And unfortunately, like, okay, COVID's going to be a part of our lives probably for many, many, many years. Not until we get a vaccine and herd immunity and diddly diddly dee, it's not going to leave. So when the parks do open, even if they open in 2021, it's COVID's still going to be out there. You know, it's a matter of is our do we have the testing? Do we have the healthcare system in place? Do we have the tools needed to have a safe opening and that we can take care of the people who do get sick and so on? That's the question. And I do not feel personally like we are there, but once again, not an expert. I'm just some dude with the two microphones in front of him. You know? I don't feel like we're at that point where the risk and reward of opening a theme park makes sense. And neither do they. That's why they're closed. But maybe, I mean, maybe we'll see. But everything's in flux. Everything's crazy. Cats and dogs living together, complete chaos.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Anyone that went to HauntCon knows this name.
Yeah, and lots of people know
No.
this name. I knew this name before
Okay.
HauntCon was a thing
Yeah.
for us, was in our lives. Rui's Costume Company has filed for Chapter 11
Yeah, an
bankruptcy.
article by James Zahn at Toy Book. I just wanted to say the name James Zahn.
Oh, okay.
Zahn!
Yes.
He gonna kick my ass.
Well, because of COVID,
yeah.
And all the uncertainty related to it, Rubies has filed for Chapter 11.
Now, to be clear, that is not the liquidation one.
Correct.
That is the debt restructuring bankruptcy.
Exactly. Basically, so, they're planning to not make as much as they do in normal years.
Yeah, and I have a feeling from the way they talked about it, this is almost a proactive bankruptcy.
Yeah.
Because they're like looking at their anticipated income and looking at their debts and going,
Yeah, exactly.
Houston, we have a problem. Yeah. So yeah, they're going to restructure their debt and continue to operate. Granted, they've already laid off 75% of their workforce, and they've shifted their manufacturing process to making PPE for doctors and nurses, etc.
Right.
So that's great. They're making masks, and I'm guessing masks and scrubs and shields and things like that. That's awesome. But yeah, basically they're trying to restructure their debt at a time when they're anticipating very limited cash flow.
Yeah. And that's pretty big news considering that there's the world's largest designer, manufacturer, and distributor of costumes.
Yeah, I did not know they were the world's largest. But then again, I should have because, dear God, their HauntCon booth is huge.
It is
huge. It's a fucking city.
Yes. I see them in stores all the time, and we have a couple of Rubies costumes, and they've held up really well over the years.
Yeah, they have a pretty good rep overall from what I've seen. And they specialize in licensed costumes.
Right.
Everything from Marvel, DC, Disney, Star Wars, Star Trek, WWE.
Mm-hmm.
All that stuff's in there. So, they're filing for bankruptcy, but it's by no means the end of Rubies. It's just, I'm looking at this as a tactical move to head off any potential future problems.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, that is most of the sad stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now we get into at least what I consider to be happier stuff. And the first one is Stupid Criminals.
Yeah.
Okay, this is an article by Devon Mayhew? I don't know how to say that.
I think it's Mayhew.
We'll say Mayhew.
Yeah.
At Up North Live. Long story short, there is a haunt called Camp Sauble, Cages of Carnage. It's in an old prison facility in the town of Free Soil, Michigan. If you don't know where Free Soil, Michigan is, don't feel bad. I looked it up, too. It has about 200 people that live there. Apparently, the prison was the biggest thing in it. But what they do is they put a haunt in there to support the local volunteer fire department.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of their big fundraisers.
Right.
Now, there's some incongruencies here. The articles say it was three teens. But if you go to their Facebook page, they say seven.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's three or seven. I literally have no idea. But a group of teens, how about that?
Yeah.
We'll get out of it that way. Were arrested breaking in to the facility and attempting to vandalize and steal from it. They were caught quickly.
Yes.
Because these were not the best and brightest, as we're going to get to in a minute.
Well, and also, you know, small town of soil, free soil.
Yeah. And they had apparently a very good security system that alerted, you know, the people that control it immediately of the problem. And they were able to be Johnny on the spot, and the sheriff's department was there in fast order to catch them. According to the Facebook page, five of them are being charged with illegal entry, trespassing, malicious destruction of property, and violating an executive order. Two others are being charged with just breaking and entering. But yeah, they went in and they basically vandalized a bunch of shit. They broke some windows. But apparently the damage wasn't too significant, as they said, because they got to them pretty quickly. But here's where we get to the stupid part. I mean, it's already pretty stupid. Breaking into a haunted house to break shit is pretty stupid.
Yeah.
But they made a TikTok video showing what they were doing.
Yeah. TikTok, your time's up.
I just... and doing this in a small town, too. I'm assuming everybody knows everybody.
Exactly. I would assume so.
They're going to figure it out pretty fucking quick who did it.
Yeah.
You know? Jeez. I mean, it's one of those things. It's like nothing about this was smart. They were like, so they were caught by the security system. They said on the Facebook page, sent push alerts to their phones. They were able to get over there and bring the sheriff and arrest them. And Those are some pretty significant charges, actually. Potentially serious charges. So, yeah. And I love the violating of an executive order, aka the stay-at-home order. I'm
Right.
pretty sure that's the
They just
one we're
added
talking.
that in.
Fuck you right there at the end of it,
Exactly.
right? You gotta love that.
Yeah, you do.
Oh man, so I'm glad they were caught. I'm glad they were not able to do too much damage, and I hope they get what's fair to them.
Yeah.
Speaking of someone getting what's fair to them,
Right.
article by Gabrielle Roussel at the Orlando Sentinel. I had not heard the story. I do not know how it flew underneath our radar. This is
No.
definitely something we should have covered before.
Right.
I'm not sure how we missed it, but we're picking it up now. We're picking up the slack because Patrick Spikes speaks out.
Yeah.
Now, if you don't know Patrick Spikes, this is because we dropped the dog on that. But basically, in 2018, Spikes stole thousands of dollars worth of clothing and props from Disney World, including, well, it's a bit unclear. It says he was trafficking in it, but no indication whether or not he stole it. But in trafficking in props and items from the Haunted Mansion. Costumes, props, and other items from the Haunted Mansion. Basically, he was caught in 2019 and was eventually found guilty, eventually reached a plea agreement. He's already paid $25K in restitution. He's performed 250 hours of community service. And basically, the most famous piece he stole, I don't know how many people that other than me remember the Cranium Command attraction. It was in Epcot. It was a thing. It was like Inside Out, where you saw the different emotions and parts of the brain working together as little animatronic
Right.
characters. And the driver, like the guy in chief, was named Buzzy, and he looked like a little fucking chipmunk, and he wore an aviator jacket. Uh-oh,
I would think that
we
Buzzy
just got
would be your
disconnected from
feet.
OBS. Just a heads up.
Okay.
I think our internet just dropped completely.
Okay.
But anyways, moving on. He sold that for $8,000.
Wow.
Holy Christ. And we were reconnecting now.
Yep.
So yeah, he sold that for 8 grand. Okay, I remember that attraction because when I think it was Pixar did Inside Out, I went to my thought, that's fucking self-plagiarism, you lazy bastards. You already did that idea. It was a theme park. It was an attraction. I remember this. And apparently I'm the only one that remembers it because like no one else seems to really recall that attraction. But apparently someone paid $8,000 for the fucking aviator jacket on an animatronic.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Weird world. Most of the stuff he stole was actually recovered, including one of the things I found interesting was on the list of stolen items that were recovered was an animatronic head from the Carousel of Progress. It was
Interesting.
worth $35,000, according to
No.
35 fucking thousand dollars, and he wasn't charged for it because they got it back.
No. Yeah, and that's part of the interesting thing about this is that if they were able to get it back, he wasn't charged for it.
But he very famously remained quiet through the whole thing, didn't even speak at any interviews, never said anything about it. He finally talked about it. And he's like, yeah, I'm basically a little bit of a celebrity now. People come to me, hey, aren't you guy that stole that Disney stuff? And he loves it when people ask him, how'd you get away with it? Because his response is, I didn't.
Yeah,
I
because.
got caught.
Yeah, he got caught. He's having to pay 25,000
He's already, he's already done
restitution.
all of his stuff. But apparently there are two other people that are charged in connection with him. I'm guessing more on the trafficking and transaction side of it.
Right.
So all the details of this investigation are not known because there's still ongoing stuff.
Yeah.
But he is done. He is done. The book on him is closed. He has moved on. He said he actually has a great photo of himself with his dog. He looks like he's put this stupidity behind him. And good on you, sir, for moving past your past transgressions. Good
Yeah.
on you, sir. Good on you. All right. And our final happy story, because
Yes.
we're wrapping it up. And we'll be returning to the question of the day once again for those who are in the chat. What is your haunt superpower? What would you describe as your haunt superpower? We'll be coming back to those answers in a little bit. Disney fan recreates entire haunted mansion in Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
This took some damn work. Now, the article is by Nathaniel Ecker at Inside the Magic, but the Twitter user Cappuccino Capu, K-A-P-P-U, cappuccino, spell it cappuccino.
Thank you for that.
Recreated Disney's Haunted Mansion in Animal Crossing, and it's amazingly faithful, even bringing in like custom wallpaper and sconces, having actual voices and music from the Haunted Mansion in it.
Right.
It's quite beautiful, and it was definitely a work of a lot of love. Yeah, it's quite interesting, and she posted the video on Twitter demonstrating how it works.
Yeah.
And there's apparently with this whole COVID thing and everyone in quarantine, there's apparently been a whole trend of people recreating theme parks and things they want to go to in Animal Crossing. And this one was a mammoth effort. I'm very impressed with how well they did on this. And yeah, kudos.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Well, and you would know more about this than I would, because I have not been to Disney.
Yeah.
So I do not know about.
Yeah, you can watch. Like. In fact, one of the things I didn't put in the COVID resources is there are several places that have consolidated walkthroughs or ride-throughs of various Disney, Universal, etc. rides.
Yeah.
So if you want to ride, you know, the great movie ride at MGM or Studios, whatever, you know, you can do that now virtually. And it seems a little silly to me. Mm-hmm. I mean, I took the virtual tour of the Mutter Museum, which I thought was in the COVID notes.
It was. You just skipped over it.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
There's a virtual tour of the Mutter Museum, which if you're not familiar with the Mutter Museum, you need to be.
Yes, it is awesome.
It's basically run by a physician's college, not a degree-granting college, like a collective of physicians.
And right.
It's weird. But they have all these exhibits of weird medical stuff. Like, they have everything from, like, you know, conjoined twins. I'm like, what's the non-offensive term? for some reason, my brain just wanted to go right to the gutter on that. conjoined twins. They have a whole cabinet of things that, you know, people choked on.
Right.
Like nails and wire.
Yeah, lots of sewing things.
Yeah, lots of sewing. Don't put that stuff in your mouth, kitties.
Yeah, so
I'm going to immediately do it.
Oh, yeah. No, I can't count the number of times I've held a screw in my mouth while I was doing something with a different one.
Yeah. So, yeah, don't, it's a bad idea. Do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah, yeah, there are literally hundreds of items that people have died or
were rescued from.
And
then get extricated one way or the other. So, yeah, but no, so that is a really cool virtual tour. I think that was a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
We've been there in person. Well, we were fortunate enough to be able to go in person once. But, like, a roller coaster?
Yeah.
What are you getting from a virtual tour of a roller coaster?
Well, I did a virtual roller coaster once somewhere. I don't remember where. But it was like you lay down, you look at this big screen, and it takes you on the dips and stuff. And it was weird.
Yeah.
It wasn't really worth it.
I can see that.
But, you know, they've got the virtual dark tour rides that they've been doing for a while now. They've been putting those together.
Yeah, sure.
This is a great time to explore those.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, if that's not enough Haunted Mansion love for you, though, and it should be, other piece of news, once again, combining stories. Look at me. There is a new board game coming out based on the Haunted Mansion ride, called Call of the Spirits. It does not have a release date. It just says it's coming out later in 2020. Keep an eye open for that.
Yep.
I might actually be picking that up. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that is it for the news. Do we have any interesting haunt superpowers?
Ellie says that her haunt superpower is being the adult in the room.
Yes. Adult woman.
Yes. and that's true, because even when we go to other haunts, she makes sure that they're playing by the rules they set forth.
Yeah. She will troll using the haunt's own rules. She's very, very good at that. And it's also worth noting that she's been told that she is the scariest thing in the haunt by our actors, because they know that if she has to throw someone out, that she's the person that'll get them to move.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, is that everything?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
For now.
For now. Well, like I said, feel free whenever this goes live in the comments. Post your haunt superpowers if you're so inclined. It's been a week.
It has.
It's been a week. It's been a weekend, too. But yes, so that is all the news for right now. This has been Haunt Weekly, episode 232, doing the news for April and May. Mm-hmm. You can find more of our episodes at hauntweekly.com, Haunt Weekly on Twitter, Haunt Weekly on Facebook, youtube.com/hauntweekly is our YouTube channel. All previous episodes are there for easy access. You can also find us on Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, anywhere that they offer podcasts. We're probably there. That's Fireside. That's our podcast host taking care of that. I just put my faith in them. Until next time, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And we will see you guys next week.
Okay, real quick, Pete Blackwell just weighed in on his haunt superpower is designing, building, and acting.
That's not a superpower. That's all the superpowers.
That's all the things.
You're just Superman. You're OP. See you guys next week.